Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
A few months ago, we started looking at the book of Ezekiel. And we got about halfway through Ezekiel. It's a fairly large Old Testament book of prophecy. And so what we're going to be doing this month is we are going to be tackling the next half of that book. And so the task is that basically each week we have a huge chunk of chapters that we've got to cover and kind of figure out what it is that we can pull from that for us today. And so what we're just going to do today is we're just going to read out loud all together chapters 25 to 32. So I'm joking. We're not going to do that. Partially because I don't like your voices that much. Partially because that's just not what we're going to do. That's not what we're going to do. But really, we're looking at Ezekiel chapters 25 to 32 today. That's kind of the chunk of scripture that I was given, that I gave myself to examine and preach from today. And we're not going to look at every verse in that section, but we're going to look at some content that spans those chapters. And in order for us to kind of understand what's happening in this chunk of scripture, we have to reflect a little bit first. Many of you have kids, you have grandkids, you've been around kids, even if you don't have kids, you've been around them. And I imagine many of you have had the experience where you watch your kids and your kids do something completely foolish. Yes? Okay, you've had that experience. And you see them do something completely foolish. And then, there's a second part to that. Then you either see yourself or somebody you're close to who's an adult do the exact same thing. Anybody? And you go, ooh, that's not good. And if it's yourself that you notice doing it, you go, huh. And you just try to brush it off, right? But sometimes that happens, as we see an action our kids do, and then we see it in adults. One thing that my boys are very excited about doing right now is whenever I give them a task, they immediately react with the task with, well, what about Ben? Does Ben have to do it? Ben, pick up your clothes. Well, John doesn't have to clean up his clothes. Well, yes, he does, but you weren't paying attention to that part of the conversation. No, you don't get to play Minecraft today. Well, what about so-and-so? Do they get to play Minecraft? No, actually, the favorite thing my boys like to do is when they get punished, they go, well, John gets to be punished too. You guys, right? You guys, do your kids do that, or is that just mine and I've got parenting issues? Does everyone experience that? Or they've seen kids do that. Not your kids, but somebody else's kids do that. You've seen, those of you who are in kids ministry here, you've seen my kids do that downstairs. But then we look around and we see adults do that. And sometimes we see, not ourselves, but we see our spouse do that, right? Right? We see our spouse do that. Well, oh, this is happening, but how come, well, if I've got to do the dishes, then you've got to help. Or whatever. But it becomes more serious than that. When you're a kid, it's those little things. But when you become an adult, it becomes a more serious thing. Because there are significant trials and tribulations and painful experiences that happen in our lives. And we react to them quite often in a similar manner, where there is pain in our life, and we look at other people and we say, well, how come they aren't going through it? There's physical pain, there's illness, there's disease, there's punishment, there's injustice, there's abuse, there's bad luck, and there are just plain evil experiences. And those things happen to us. And we start with, why is this happening to me? Why? What have I done to deserve this? How come this is happening to me? And then it shifts and we go, well, how come it's happening to me, but it's not happening to them? How come I got that diagnosis, but so-and-so didn't? How come I'm dealing with this family traumatic experience in this crisis, but so-and-so isn't? How come I lost my job, but they didn't? Why am I in this mess, and those people aren't? And we can sit there, and we can actually come up with reasons why we don't deserve it, and those people that aren't in the situation do deserve it. And then there's the flip. There are certain people in our lives that we are watching, and we see them go through pain, and there's part of us that goes, finally, they're getting what they deserve. Finally, they're having to suffer like I suffered. Or finally, they're having to suffer because of their foolish actions. Or I remember how they treated me years ago, and it's good to see that they're getting it too. That what goes around comes around. Serves them right. And it may be a coworker, it may be a boss, it may be your ex, it may be a politician. But you look at them and you see the pain and the suffering that they are in the middle of, and there's part of you, maybe a loud part of you, that says, ha, good. Well, in Ezekiel chapters 23 through 32, there's some interesting things that happen here. The book of Ezekiel is primarily a word of prophecy to the people of Israel. And chapters 1 to 22, 24-ish are mainly about Israel. Like, it's a word to Israel about Israel. And then from chapters 33 onward, it's about Israel. It's to Israel about Israel. But this section, 23 to 32, isn't really talking about Israel. This section in the middle of the book is talking about the countries that are around Israel. And essentially, God speaks to Ezekiel and says, you speak to this people, and that country, 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 and those people. And this section is God's word to those groups surrounding Israel. And if you do a little bit of homework in there, you see that it's not a chronological thing. It's not that Ezekiel had this word, and then he pauses in this word to Israel, and he's got this word to the people around Israel, and then he continues. You see that actually it's been compiled in this book as a thematic element. Chapters 23 through 32 are not in chronological order. They give some of the dates, some of the timelines in these passages, but it jumps around. 26 verse 1, 29 verse 1, verse 17, 30 verse 20, 31 verse 1, 32 verse 1, and 17. Those are all time jumps. And some of them are forward and some of them are backwards. And so they've gathered the writer of this book has gathered all of those situations, all of those words of prophecies, to stick it in the middle here to make a point. And you'll see, as you read through those chapters, several things get repeated. One of them is because of evil. You'll see that in 25 verse 3, verse 6, verse 8, verse 12, verse 15, 26 verse 2, 28 verse 6, 17, 29 verse 9, 20, 31 verse 10 to 11, and 32 verse 26. And then you'll also see repeated, I think, 16 times the statement that this and this and this will happen so that they will know that He is the Lord. Let me read to you a passage from chapter 25. Ezekiel chapter 25, starting in verse 3. 25 verse 3, it says, "Say to them, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you said, 'Aha!' over my sanctuary when it was desecrated, and over the land of Israel when it was laid waste, and over the people of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, I am going to give you to the people of the east as a possession. They will set up their camps and pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will turn Rabbah into a pasture for camels, and Ammon into a resting place for the sheep. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all the malice in your heart against the land of Israel, therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will wipe you out from among the nations and exterminate you from the countries. I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord." Now, this all is very interesting, because God had passed judgment on Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel were going into exile, were being destroyed, had lost battles because of their sin. And God had actually used some of these neighboring countries to destroy Israel, to send them into exile. And so Israel had done evil things, and so God punished Israel. And then, in these chapters here in the middle of the book, God reminds Israel that even though He has punished them for their evil, He's going to also punish everybody else for their evil. And not just for their evil, but because they took pleasure in watching Israel suffer. Now, for us today, I think that gives us several things we've got to consider. Number one, I think one of the main reasons that it's put right in the middle of this book of prophecy is to remind Israel that God has justice well in hand. God is a God of justice. He knows what the ruling is. You don't have to make justice happen. You don't need to try to get even. Justice is God's work, and He will take care of it. He will accomplish justice. Evil people will not, in the end, get away with the evil they have done, whether it's to you or to someone else. You don't need to carry that responsibility. God has not forgotten what has happened to you. Whether someone was rude to you, whether someone cheated you, or somebody abused you, God has not forgotten the evil that has happened to you. He will accomplish His justice. But at the same time, I think he's making it very clear that as much as it is his job to accomplish justice, it is not our job to take joy in it. Actually, it's not just not our job. It is not good for us to take joy in someone else's pain, even if they deserve it. Because it's not just God is going to bring justice because these people are evil. He's bringing justice because they took joy. They rejoiced with all the malice of their hearts against the land of Israel. And so it's God's job to take care of justice. It is not good for us to take joy in other people going through pain and getting even, getting what they deserve. Well, there's also another thing that shows up here. And it says it twice in the passage that we read. I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Even in the punishment that God is going to dish out, the point of it is for them to know Him. The point of it isn't just revenge, isn't just destruction. The point of it is so that they will know that He is God. Overall, I think this is the point that we need to grab hold of today. That we need to let God handle everyone else, but you need to focus on what God is trying to tell you. We need to let God handle everyone else, but we need to focus on what God is trying to tell you. What I mean by that, how do I get there? Number one, Israel was punished, the people around Israel were punished. The key here is we need to focus in on following God ourselves. The Israelites were punished and the people around Israel were punished because they were not following God. They were not doing what He was calling them to do and to be. They had rejected Him. And the solution there is supposed to be that you would start following Him. And so that's the first thing that we need to grab from this. The second thing we need to grab from it is that it is okay to learn from other people's mistakes. But with that, we need to acknowledge that we do not know everything about the situation. And that can be summed up as this. Empathy and grace are the best default attitudes when dealing with anyone else. Empathy, feeling what they feel, and grace are the best default natural response that we should have when dealing with anybody else. We need to focus on doing what God calls us to do, and we need to treat others with empathy and with grace. You see, if we do those two things, okay, if we do those two things, then one, we avoid the backlash. We avoid the rebound of the evil. You see, God punished Israel, and then the nations around took joy in Israel being punished, and because of them taking joy in that, because they wanted that revenge, because they took satisfaction in that pain, God then rebounded the punishment on them. If they had sat by and they had mourned for Israel, and they had had empathy and grace for Israel, God wouldn't have looked at them and said, "Oh, well, you're going to get it too." It was because of their malice towards others that God focused his punishment on them. And so if we can respond not with judgment of others, but with empathy and with grace, we avoid that rebound. It's like being two kids on the playground and they get into a fight. And one kid punches the other kid. And I'm not talking about self-defense. When you're in the middle of it and some kid's pounding on you and you got to stop them, like if you got to stop them, you stop them. But I'm talking like some kid punches you, the fight's over, and then you're just waiting for the opportunity to sneak up behind them and smack them. But there's a difference between defense and revenge. You understand that, right? When you take revenge, you both get in trouble. If you can respond with empathy and grace, only one of you gets in trouble. The other thing that comes about when you do this and you focus in on what God is trying to tell you and you respond to others with empathy and grace is that when the pain comes to you, you get to know who God is. Are you following me? He's speaking to these nations. Okay, he's speaking to these nations. He's outlining why he's punishing them. But at the end of the decree of their punishment, he says 16 times in these chapters, "You will know that I am the Lord." And you may read that as just some large decree and some massive statement of you're going to know who's boss, but I think there's more to it. I think it's this decree saying this punishment is going to come, and if you are willing to seek me in the punishment, the result will be you will actually know me. And I think we can take that to apply to us, that when the punishment comes, when the pain in our lives comes, whether it's because of we deserve it or because the world is evil and we're being attacked, whatever it is, that if we can look to God and watch for what he wants to say to us, then the end result will be that we get to know him. The reverse is also true. That if you respond to other people in their pain with joy, with laughing at them, with the "they deserve it, it's about time they got it," you may find that that pain and that judgment rebounds on you. And if you don't look for what God is saying to you in the middle of it, you are going to miss out on knowing God. You are going to miss out on seeing God more clearly. Now, this is all good as a theoretical kind of idea, but it gets much harder when you put it into your life. Because it is very natural for all of us to look around and say, "Well, how come so-and-so isn't being punished, or it's about time?" whether it's, again, whether it's a boss or a coworker, or a fellow student, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your ex-spouse, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's a politician. It's very easy for all of us to look at the politicians, to separate ourselves, and make comments about such and such is such an idiot, and he's so dumb, and he's making these dumb decisions, and he's worthless, and he's a piece of trash. And when things start happening to them, and things start falling apart, we go, it's about time, whoa, good, I'm glad they're getting it. It's very natural, it's very normal to do that, but that is not the way of God. That is not the way of Jesus. And we are not supposed to be like everyone else. God makes it very clear, I believe, in this section of Scripture, that we are not supposed to take joy in other people's pain. We are supposed to respond with empathy and with grace. And we are to look to what God is saying to us. Whether it's learning from someone's mistake, or hearing God in the middle of the pain. We need to let God handle everyone else. And we need to listen for what God is saying to us. The worship team's going to come up. And they're going to do one more song for us. And during this song, I just want you to really reflect on these words. Really consider how you have been acting and reacting. And if you look in your life and you can see how you have been taking joy in other people's pain, and people that you don't like, people that you consider to be enemies, opponents, people that you feel are doing horrible things in our world, maybe. But you have been taking joy in their pain, then you need to repent of that. You can be glad that God is, that justice is in the hands of God, sure. But it should not give you joy. You need to respond with empathy and with grace. And if you are in the middle of pain, and whether it's pain from the evil of the world or pain that God is putting on you to teach you something, be watching for what He is teaching you. Like the country surrounding Israel, be watching for what God is up to, because His ultimate goal is that in the end, you would know Him better.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.